God is good. Hallelujah. If you've got your Bible with you this morning, will you turn with me to the 22nd chapter of the book of Genesis? Genesis chapter 22. I want to minister to you today on how to handle your dreams. How to handle your dreams. How many of you here are dreamers? You know that means you're old, right? You know, in the book of Joel, it says, it says that young men shall what? See visions. And the old ones will what? Dream dreams. So nudge your neighbor and tell them, hello, oldie. Hallelujah. No, I'm only kidding. We should all have dreams. You see, this is one of the things that we need to clarify. If you have a dream this morning, then by God's grace, it should have come from something that God's told you. Amen. When God tells you things, it's not that you hear a word in your ear. It's that you hear something that paints a picture of something. Words are picture generators. Can you say amen?
Amen.
So, for instance, if I say lady, then you might be thinking Lady Diana. But if I say Asian lady, then you know it's not Lady Diana. Then you put a different picture of something in your mind. Do you see what I mean? You don't see the words L-A-D-Y. You see the picture that the word transmits. Right. Okay. Now, you see, this is why God uses a substance called faith. The Bible says that faith is the substance of things hoped for. Hope is the picture that the words generate, that then faith can attach itself to and bring about to reality. I know this is like deep for a Sunday morning. Some of you are lost in translation already. But that's the way things are. You see, God will speak to us. The Bible says faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. And many people say, oh, Pastor P, you know, I wish I had more faith. I said, well, you know, well, why? Like, have you ever met anyone like that? Oh, Jesus. I call them creche Christians. There's a lot of them about. You see, but God's told us how to get faith. Do you remember Jesus went into Nazareth in the book of Mark around the 5th or 6th chapter? I think it's Mark chapter 5. He had just been in another place where Jairus' daughter had been healed. And the woman with the issue of blood took hold of the hem of his garment. And the Bible says that virtue flowed from Jesus Christ, right? And then he comes from that. Sorry, I'm spitting all over myself. I'm too excited. He comes from there, and the next stop is Nazareth. It's the town where he grew up. Now, you can imagine, back then, you'd have had kids running around because there was no, like, formal education there. You'd have a bunch of kids all playing in the street, and anything that was an attraction. Some of you, particularly if you've come from village life in Africa or Asia, and there's not a lot going on, if somebody comes to town, the whole village knows. Am I telling the truth? Right. And the kids will be like the entourage. It happens to me. If I go to Ghana or Kenya, India or any of those places, there's just, I don't know where they come. They just come out of nowhere, you know? And it's like the place is full of them. And it's like they're everywhere and they want to see, you know, oh, wow, what's happening? Like, who's this? When we brought Junior to India, even the soldiers were at it at Hyderabad Airport. You remember that, Junior? Yeah. And they were supposed to be guarding the airport. They had this 50 caliber armored car in the run, like in the airport little lay-by there, and they were standing there with their guns and looking. Junior comes out of the airport with his big hench self and his Beats headphones stuck to the side of his ear to make him look even more like droid-like or something. And these soldiers came running over and said, wow. One of them said he's a Sikh guy, you know, and he had the turban on and everything like that. And I can't do the accent very well, but he says, you have a beautiful body. That's the guy. I mean, the guys, they had, now, if you think of it, right? These guys had completely forgotten their duty. I mean, so much for terrorists pulling up in a car with explosives. You know, Junior's in town, like, forget it, you know? But that's what it's like. And back then, there would have been this entourage of kids running ahead of Jesus. They're just going ahead to the next village, which is Nazareth. And then Jesus shows up in Nazareth, and they say, hang on a second, I recognize this guy. And they said in Scripture, if you look in Mark, in fact, let's turn there, because it's actually frightening. Because, you know, many times we pray for miracles. Oh, Lord, send miracles, signs and wonders that people will know. It's Mark chapter 6. We'll look at verse number 2. Mark chapter 6, verse 2. So Jesus has come into this town. It's the Sabbath, and he's teaching in the synagogue. The Bible says halfway through verse 2, and many listeners were astonished, saying, where did this man get these things? And what is his wisdom and such miracles as these performed by his hands? Now, you see, many times we think that, you know what, our faith would increase if we saw miracles. You know what, if I really saw a miracle, it would really enhance my faith. Right? If I saw signs and wonders. Now, other people, they say to themselves, you know what? If I hear the wisdom of God, my faith would increase. If I hear wisdom, it builds faith. Particularly, you know, in the more European Christian circles, they love to sit down and listen. Like, so you're not a minister of the gospel or a preacher anymore. You're a speaker. And this isn't a sermon. It's a talk. Right. Okay, so like you think that they would see something. They said, where did this man get these things? What is this wisdom given to him and such miracles as these performed by his hands? So they weren't disputing that miracles had happened, right? They weren't disputing that the wisdom of God was flowing in this thing. But then at the end of the little passage about this visit to Nazareth of Jesus, the Bible says he marveled at their unbelief. In other words, the wisdom and the miracles didn't increase faith in their life. Why? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, right? Now, if you have a dream for something, and here's the difference, because I was talking to the Lord about this thing, right? And this is what he said. He said, the Bible says, your young men shall see visions. When God gives you a vision, it encapsulates your life. It starts to surround. You can't think of anything else. I haven't thought of anything else since entering in the ministry than building God's kingdom on earth. You can't. How do you do? You know, even when I'm at like down the Emirates watching Arsenal lose. Oh, Jesus. To Chelsea, I told you, didn't I, last week? Do you remember that? I thought we'd lose 2-1, but God was merciful. We just lost 1-0. My goodness me. But even down in a place like that, even sort of detached, it's like those of you, if you have a business, or, you know, if God has increased something in your life where you just know it's a vision from God, that the thing, it overtakes you. And as a result, your dreams are your spin-off of your vision. So when I dream about the expansion of God's kingdom. I dream about the prophetic realm. I see things coming to pass that haven't come to pass before. You get glimpses. You know, the Bible says that the Holy Spirit, he said he'll take what is mine. Jesus was talking at the Last Supper. He will take what is mine and give it to you, and he will show you things to come. So there's a things to come aspect of the ministry that I carry. God's shown me so many times things that would come to pass, and they have. And I've got a whole prophetic file in my office at home of things that I've prophesied that have come to pass. Because, like, it's then, you know, if, like, for instance, I had to deal with the police about something once, something that I'd seen in the spirit that turned out to be evidence that they wanted me to go and stand before a judge for. And so they thought, like, well, what is this dude? You know, what's he up to? So I showed them my prophetic file. And one of them, upstairs in the lounge there, and the guy from the robbery squad said, wow, he said, you know, I retire next March. This was in October, November of a few years ago, November 2011 or 2012, I think it was. He said, I retire next March from the Metropolitan Police, 30 years of service. He said, and in all my career, he said, I've never seen anything like this. Because that's the nature of what we do. What we do is supernatural. What I do is supernatural. So when I got this vision from God to expand his kingdom and to grow and propagate the kingdom of heaven on earth, then that was the vision God gave me. I saw the vision of what God wanted to see in the lives of people on earth, right? The dreams, as a result, are the spin-off of that. So when you're old, it's too late. This is why he says your old men shall dream dreams. Because even when I'm way old, like I said to Benji, you know, Benji ran in my house one time, or in my lounge one time at home. I mean, he's older now, he's wiser. But when he was about 15 months old, he came running into the sitting room at home, and he took off his nappy, started running around laughing because I was chasing him, and he peed on my floor. So I said, dude, I said, when I'm 95, I'm going to come round your house. Hallelujah. Ever since then, Ronke has called me PP. Hallelujah. But you see, that's the difference between visions and dreams, you see. Get your vision when you're young. Touch your neighbor and tell them, get your vision young. Thing, like, you know, when you're 75, you suddenly wake up, oh wow, what have I done for God? You know, I've only got 10 years because I've been living out McDonald's and blah blah blah, and you know, I need to get fit and I need to get blah blah blah. I want to, you know, suddenly do everything for God, and then you'll collapse and it's too late. No, get it now, get your vision young, get the thing young. I feel younger today now than I did 30 years ago. It's amazing. I feel fitter. I feel stronger in the realm of the spirit. And it's something God chooses. You see, if God can get your vision into you young, then you can achieve much, much more. You can plow with those who are going in the same direction. You can labor in the vineyard. That's one of the things I love about the church here, is that we don't lack laborers. We've turned the 80-20 rule on its head. You know, most churches, one of the biggest complaints of pastors and overseers of churches that I've known about is the 20-80 rule, where 20% of the people do 80% of the work. And we've actually turned that on its head, where 80% of the people are doing everything and only like maybe even less than 20% involved in the actual work of the ministry. So I think you should clap for yourselves. Yeah. Hallelujah. Now, this is the thing, right? How to handle your dreams. Don't be afraid to be brutal to your dream. It's really, really important to understand this. Don't be afraid to be brutal. Some people, you know, it's like, oh, the slightest thing, bam, would knock them off course. It's like, ah, you broke my Lego. Do you see what I'm saying? It's like, and this is where maturing in Christ is very, very important. That we have to, the Bible says, that grow up into him who is the head, even Christ. So there's a growing up process. Can you imagine, right, if I was like, when I was 8 years old, I was kind of weird, right? I was raised in a Catholic family. I'm half Irish. You've got to be Catholic at least once if you've got any Irish blood. Any Irish people in the house, I'm telling the truth. It's like, you know, it's just in the blood, right? So I was raised in a Catholic home, but like I used to take it one stage further. I had this bed sheet that I'd like there was a hole in the middle of the bed sheet, and I used to put the bed sheet over me, and then I used to sit my sister down, and I used to do Catholic Mass. I don't even think my wife knows this. My wife's in America, by the way. She sends her love. But I used to sit my sister down and force her. For me, I had this little communion book. I used to make communions out of, you know, like bread, where you mash bread down and then you get an egg cup. You turn the egg cup up. It's like an episode of Blue Peter, isn't it? It's great. And I used to, like, twist the circle and it would be a circle. And woe betide her if she tried to get up halfway through the mass. Woe betide her. Oh, my gosh. I would chase her around the house with a stick. And that was that. So there was something, I don't know. You know the way your vision is... It's somehow it's in you. And you look back. I used to go do you remember there was this shop, Tandy? They call it Radio Shack in America, where you could buy all kinds of stereos. And you remember Tandy, people? Oh, you do? Okay, I'm just wondering, are you still awake even, you know? Anyway, so I used to go to this Tandy store, and I used to mess with the levels on the dials of the equalizers, and I used to work out. I taught myself audio and PA. Isn't that amazing? And so then when God called me into full-time ministry, the church started to grow. I trained up Godfrey on the sound, didn't I, Godfrey? He's one of the best sound guys in Britain. I mean, when you go, it's true, you should clap for him. When you go to other churches where they've got, like, I mean, we built this sound system here for 11 grand. I mean, that is a shoestring compared to some places. I've been to conference centres where they've spent $500,000 on the PA system, no problem at all. And the sound isn't anywhere near as good because the guy working it doesn't know how to work it. Now, thank God, I mean, Godfrey's way far beyond me. But somehow it was in me to teach him what I know. That was like a thread, even as a 10-year-old kid messing around in Tandy's store in Crouch End. So your vision, your dream is somewhere there. There's a trace element of your dream on the inside of you. And it's funny, some people have a journey to that dream, but once you get it, there's something about it, it draws you, it vacuums you in. May the Lord vacuum you into your dream in the name of Jesus Christ. And don't worry, it's coming. You know, dreams, they take a while to manifest. I don't know why and how God does it, but it's like, he's like... There's something of the excellence of God towards it. The more that you go for excellence in your dream, the faster the thing rotates and the quicker you'll get there. You know the candy floss machine where you start off? You know candy floss? And you start off, you stick the stick in the thing, and there's really nothing except a bunch of sugar going around at 100 miles an hour. And then suddenly the guy starts moving the stick and the thing is getting bigger. Well, that's what the manifestation of dreams is like in the prophetic realm. That's exactly what it's like in the realm of the spirit. I love this stuff, man. I really love it. There's something about it. It can cause you to succeed and excel in things that you never imagined possible. Never. I believe that some of you here, that your dream, under the sound of my voice, your dream is taking shape. Amen. In Jesus' mighty name. It's amazing the feedback we get worldwide from people listening to the podcast, and it's like something. You know when Mary went to visit Elizabeth and they met together and suddenly the baby jumped in Elizabeth? You know, that's a prophetic thing, you know? And it's like people say, oh, PP, you know, when you were preaching on blah, 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 my baby jumped. In other words, my dream, boom. It's like, oh, gosh, you know what? There's more to you give me hope. It's amazing how that happens. And God uses that so much. Turn to your neighbor and tell him, don't be afraid to be brutal to your dream. The Lord showed me this concerning the life of Abraham. And we'll just take it there. Genesis chapter 22. Verse number 1 says, now it came about after these things that God tested Abraham and said, Abraham, he said, here I am. He said, take now your son. Or we would say, because we know the background between Abraham and him not having kids for, you know, for like no matter how old he was getting, things just weren't going well for him and his wife. So at the age of 75, God spoke to him. He said, I'm going to make you the father of many nations. Change your name. And then he spoke to him again at the age of 99. He says, look, next year, you're going to have a son. You're going to call him Isaac, etc., etc., right? And so this represented, this wasn't just a son. This was a dream. This was a dream of becoming the father of many nations. So it's not just, turn to your neighbor and tell him, it's not just a son. It was a dream. Yeah, so he said, take now your son, your only son, and sacrifice him. I'm hungry for this sacrifice. I want your dream on my altar. And it's funny how many people don't really enter the fullness of their dream until they have taken that dream to the altar and stuck a knife to it. Turn to your neighbour and tell them, don't be afraid to be brutal to your dream. Yeah, there's something about it. There's something that that God takes and he says, you know, if you want your dream to be fulfilled, stick it on the altar and put a knife to it. If it's a dream that's from me, and this is the thing about Abraham, we're going to look at what he actually was doing right there, because I've heard it taught and preached, like, oh, poor old Abraham, and he was, don't you know, the God we serve, he's a wicked God, he's a cruel God, that he would take, you know, and all this, not, I don't know if you've ever heard any of them, like, some of them Bible Belt preachers, they need a good slap, but that's what they're like. Some of them, look at what he says in Hebrews chapter 11, because the Holy Spirit, by the Apostle Paul or by the writer of Hebrews, gives us an insight into what was actually happening in the heart of Abraham. So if you flick right over to Hebrews chapter 11 and verse number 17, we're going to look at this. Hebrews 11, 17. It says here, by faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac. And he who had received the promises. Now, we could say, because we're talking about dreams today, he who had received the dream, right? He who had received the dream or the promises was offering up his only begotten son. Verse number 18. For you, you've flipped over to Hebrews 12. I wanted Hebrews 11, 18. You started off on the right one and now you've jumped to chapter. That's right. It was he to whom it was said, in Isaac shall your descendants be called. So we're on the right track here. Verse number 19. He considered. Now this is Abraham. He's got the knife to his son's throat. They say that his son Isaac was probably about 6 years old when this particular thing happened. And actually some Bible scholars believe that this was the last straw for Sarah. Because after this, you don't hear of Sarah in Abraham's life. This was a big thing. You don't hear of Sarah in Abraham's life until Abraham dies, and then the Bible says, and Sarah returned to bury him. I mean, you can imagine it. You believe in God for 100 years for a kid. You yourself are 90. And at the age of 96, he takes your kid up a mountain and ties him up and takes out his scabbard. And he's ready to pin this guy to the altar. That's big medicine. I mean, thank God, you know, God ain't doing that now. He sent Jesus and you know, it's done. I wouldn't know what that's like. He considered, this is going on in Abraham's heart. The Holy Spirit, by the writer, is giving us a window into the heart of what's going on in this guy's mind, in Abraham's mind. He considered that God is able to raise people even from the dead, from which he also received him back as a type. In other words, Abraham's faith did not falter one inch during that thing, because he probably thought to himself, you know what, I'm going to see a miracle. I'm going to stick the knife in this guy. We're going to burn him, and God is going to raise up a multitude of nations from the very ashes. Wow. 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 And this is why, you know, people preach, and I really agree with what they say. You know, don't be afraid to put your Isaac on the altar. In other words, don't be afraid to put the dreams that you have, the things that you know God has told you, don't be afraid to put them on the altar and say, Lord, it's your dream, fulfill it. It's a powerful thing. It's a very powerful thing, especially in ministry, because we think we've done it ourselves. Especially in business, because we think we've done it ourselves. It was one of the biggest traps to the children of Israel. He says, lest you say in your heart, I have gotten this wealth by myself. I have blah, blah, blah. He says, no. He says, you shall remember the Lord, for it is he who has given you power to get wealth in order that he may establish his covenant in the earth. So there's something very powerful about remembering God. We use the word remember as though we've forgotten, right? If you think, oh yeah, I remember, right? But God doesn't use the word remember that way. Do you remember that the angel in the house of Cornelius? And he says to Cornelius, he says, your prayers and your almsgiving have risen as a what? Memorial to me, right? Now that memorial is ever present. It's still present today in heaven. It's like, you know, we have in Britain, we have war memorials, right? So there's a memorial in the realm of the spirit to this guy, Cornelius. There is a memorial to God's covenant between him and Abraham in the heavenlies. There's a memorial between him and the nation of Israel in the heavenlies, right? When God was going to destroy the children of Israel, he says, the Bible says that Moses approached God and he said, please, remember your covenant. And the Bible says, and the Lord remembered his covenant. Now, it's not that God's not senile. Turn to your neighbor and tell him, God's not senile. He's not suffering dementia, right? It's not that he's forgotten. It's that he's chosen not to look. And the prayer of Moses, the Bible says, softened the face of God. I love that. You know, they went to seek and soften the face of the Lord. It's a term they use in Scripture, whereby God could then look again at his covenant with the nation of Israel and change his mind concerning it and relent from what he was going to do. Wow. This stuff is so powerful. Turn to your neighbor and tell him, don't be afraid to be brutal to your dream. Oh, yeah, it's a very, very powerful thing. Powerful thing. You see, it will separate dream from fantasy. Yeah. Oh, Pastor P, I have a dream that I'm going to live to 100. Right. And then I sit down and your dinner plate is like, wow, it's like the map of the Himalayas. Lord have mercy. Topped off with some red stew. Oh, Jesus. Plantain peaks. Oh, my goodness me. Or here's another one. Crispy duck. Oh, Lord. I am very, very good. Anyway, back to the message. Man, I'm hungry now. Turn to your neighbor and tell him, if you weren't hungry before, you're hungry now. Ah! You sit down, but you're moving in the opposite direction to your dream. Oh, yes, amen, Shandai, hallelujah. The Bible says that with long life, he'll satisfy you and fullness of days. And then, like, you haven't worked out in years. In fact, like 5 minutes on the treadmill, you'd be half conscious by the time you came off it. You see what I'm saying? What, your dream is misaligned to your actions. And until you start to value the dream that God has given, you know what God said to me concerning my diet? He said, when you hit 50, he said, everything that you eat must be medicinal. That's a challenge, man. He said, anything that you eat that's not medicinal is actually going to be counterproductive to your vision. I don't know about you, but at the age of 110, I want to be battering the devil unconscious every time. Amen. I don't want to be some like Zimmer frame, you know, I mean, if you need one, get one. But like, brother, I don't want to be. I fight aging with everything, even like, even gray hair, I'm fighting it with hair. Hallelujah. Yes. I mean, you should see the face creams lined up now on my bedside cabinet. My wife leans over, she said, come here, Paolo. Bang. And then rubs it all in, and it's like, wow, you know, I look so dainty the following day. And but you see, this is the thing. I'm fighting that thing. I'm fighting the good fight of faith. You know, I want to live long. The Bible says that I can extend my life. The Bible says that with wisdom, there is length of days in the book of Proverbs. So there's something that I can do, right? But we've got to have that thing in alignment. And really, until you know your dream is from God, you can't really treat it like a dream. Do you see what I'm saying? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So I know that it's God's will for me to live a long life. You know, I don't like all this nonsense. Oh, yeah, well, God chose to take him. at the age of 5 or 15 or 25 or even 60. Oh, it was his time. You see, because the Bible says different. The Bible says with long life, he'll satisfy you and fullness of days. So when my days are filled up, that's when I want to go to be with the Lord. Some people, you know, like you get, what happens is, you see, if your body is so badly damaged that your spirit is evicted from your body, then that's it. Do you see what I'm saying? Unless you get back from the dead, if people are praying or what, I don't even know how that works. I really don't know. I mean, I've heard stories of people praying for a dead body over a mobile phone and the person coming back to life. I honestly don't know how it works. I heard some people, you know, they even climb on top of the dead body and the body still doesn't come up from the dead. I don't know. I'm glad he does it. It's a great sign that he's God, because I don't know of any other God who can do such a thing. Hallelujah. But like, you know, stuff happens in life. I'm not nullifying that at all. But one thing that I am declaring with my words daily, I'm declaring long life. For me then to go against that by just eating what I like, not doing what God says in relation to exercise, walking across the motorway with a blindfold, you know, hoping that no one hits me. You can't go on like, you shouldn't treat a dream that's from God with such disrespect. Hallelujah. I know some of you are going to go home, you're going to take your palm oil and you're going to chuck it in the bin. All those carbs, bam, in the bin. Glory to God. Yes, you'll live longer in Jesus' name. I have an ulterior motive. I don't like doing funerals, so I won't do your funeral in Jesus' mighty name. Look at this. Let's go back to this now about taking the knife to the dream. Verse 19 of Hebrews 11. It says here, he considered that God is able to raise men even from the dead, from which he also received him back as a type. And that's how we know. When God said, take your son and sacrifice him, Abraham didn't see a dead child. He saw resurrected numerous stars. Because the Bible says he received him back as a type. In other words, in Abraham's heart, it was as though he'd already killed the kid and God brought the ashes back to life. That's a very, very powerful thing. That's when you know it's a dream from God. That's when you know, because it can go right through all this nonsense. The Bible says in hope, he believed against hope. Let's go to Romans chapter 4 and verse number 17. This is very, very powerful. And this is how faith comes. Faith comes from hearing and hearing by the word of God. There's something about the voice of God that when you hear it, faith comes alive. It's not by miracles. It's not by wisdom. It's by the word of God. It's by the voice of God. There's something unique about the voice of God. Psalm 29, it says his voice breaks asunder the cedars of Lebanon. His voice shakes the nations and everything in his temple shouts glory. Whew, that's a powerful thing. Look at this, Romans 4:17. Romans chapter 4, 17. As it is written, a father of many nations I have made you. In the presence of him whom he believed, even God, who gives life to the dead and calls into being that which does not exist. Now look at this, right? How on earth could Abraham know that God raises the dead? How on earth could he? No one's been raised from the dead yet. Ever. But there's something, you see, there's something in the voice of God. There's something in the voice of God that even when everything around you is wilderness and desolation and desert, that when you hear it, something comes alive. A rotation starts to happen in the realm of the spirit and boom, 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 boom. It's like the start of an engine. It's like the way a turbine goes around and suddenly things are spinning into being that didn't exist before. Don't give up on your dreams, folks. Anything that God has told you will happen. Amen. It will surely, as they say in Nigeria, hey! say in Nigeria, will surely happen. I don't say happen, am I right? Come on, say it then. Okay, 1 minute. Say it into this mic. It will surely what? Chief suspect right there. Now, verse number 18. In hope, against hope he believed, so that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which had been spoken, so shall your descendants be. Isn't this powerful stuff? When faith can come alive on the inside of you like that, that you can take a knife to your dream and see God raise it from the dead a thousand times. This is one of the things I love about Joseph, is that he understood something of the faith of Abraham. It's a very powerful thing, that he could be accused of rape, that he could be imprisoned, that he could go through unlimited numbers. I mean, not only did he go through all that stuff, but the very people who were supposed to bring his deliverance forgot about him. My goodness me. There was something of that endurance, right? And then suddenly he comes out the other side and God brings this restoration and he says, I have become a father to Pharaoh. There's something very powerful about this. But this thing called hope, you see, is the supernatural substance that causes faith to activate. Somebody said once that faith is the currency of heaven. You've heard that, right? Right. Okay. That means that hope is the paper and the ink. You see what's missing in so many lives? Faith is the currency of heaven, but the very paper and ink that that faith is written on is called hope. So if you replace the word hope for picture, then you'll understand what's going on. In this picture, what? The picture of resurrected Isaac, against the picture of him being dead and burned to a crisp, he believed so that he might become a father of many nations. If you want to know the very point of activation where Abraham became the father of many nations, it was when he was there ready. Bam. Because that was the proof. You know, the Bible says about the word of the Lord tested Joseph. This is what we're talking about today. You don't have to be afraid about your dream. If your dream's from God, it's going to come to pass. It's going to come to pass. I said it is going to come to pass in Jesus' mighty name. No matter how many arrows the devil throws at it, no matter how many times it has to be raised from the dead, no matter how many times things get banjaxed and messed up and wrong and all splattered and everything like that, if this thing is from God, it's going to stand. Amen. Will you stand to your feet? We'll thank God for his word. Thank you, Father. Lord God, we thank you for the principles of faith. We thank you that faith is the currency of heaven. We thank you that hope is the ink and the paper on which that currency is written. And we thank you that love is the printing press. Faith works by love. Hope works by love, and love is all. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you for your DNA. This DNA called love, this substance that causes hope to be a currency, that causes faith to be a currency. Thank you, Heavenly Father. Lord, I pray for these three gifts, as your word calls them, the abiding gifts of the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' mighty name, Father, help us, coach us, lead us, Lord. By your word, lead us. Lord, we thank you for the principle that faith comes by hearing and hearing by your word. And that hope is the picture painted by your word. And that love is the driving force behind them both. And I thank you, Holy Spirit, that you shall indeed fulfill that which you have promised. Because you are faithful and able to do it, Lord. You are able to bring it to pass. Father, your word says, faithful is he who called you. Faithful is he who calls you. Faithful is he who called you, and he shall bring it to pass. In Jesus' mighty name. Faithful is he who called you, and he shall bring it to pass. I declare it over the lives of your people this morning, Lord. In the name of Jesus, let your banner be raised. Let your glory be seen. Let every dormant dream be stirred up. Let every seed that has come from you, the seed of a dream, Father, let it germinate and let it bear fruit, Heavenly Father. Thank you, Lord God. It's never too late to see you move and to see you achieve in our lives. We give you the glory for it in Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen.